Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
This new research out today from Samaritans Ireland has found stigma towards people who self-harm can impact on their ability to rent an apartment, to find a job, or to enter a new relationship. It found that some people started to self-harm as young as 4 years old, and others have been self-harming for over 50 years. Dean MacDonald is an academic researcher at the Southeast Technological University, and Dean worked on the report and joins me on the line now. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Claire. How are you keeping?
Good. So you and two of your colleagues were tasked with this research, and you ended up getting one of the largest samples in Ireland. So take us through who you talked to. How many people volunteered to speak to you?
We spoke with just over 800 participants, and some of those participants, they would have been qualitative or quantitative. So we would have carried out a series of focus groups, but we got a fairly sizable input from quite an awful lot of participants.
So what did you find then? And who exactly were you talking to? Were you talking to people who you knew were engaged in self-harm, or was it more random than that?
It was a little bit more focused, actually. So a lot of the research that we've been carrying out, and other my colleagues just across the border as well, and in Northern Ireland, what we've been doing is having a look at what self-harm is and having a look at how stigma is still very much prominent, regardless of quite an awful lot of inputs with media, etc. But what we did was we recruited a fairly sizable sample. So we were looking at individuals with lived experience. We were looking at their friends and family. We were looking at professionals who help individuals that experience self-harm. And we were also looking into perceptions from the general public about those who self-harm.
So the stigma part is interesting, because how does that square with this condition that is so hidden?
Hidden is a fairly apt description of that, yeah. So when we think about mental health, it's incredibly difficult to see, and it's incredibly easy to hide. So one thing that we were trying to do was advocate for that and actually show people that you are absolutely perfectly able to talk about this, that there are a lot of supports. But what we found in the research was that in general, most participants who with lived experience, they could be suffering from it for 13, 14 years. Some of the earliest ages were 4 years old. And then some of the older individuals, older participants, our eldest was 80, for example, who are experiencing self-harm as well. So no one, I don't think, is immune to this. And I think that's something that we do need to try and clarify through more research.
But Dean, given that the condition and the processes, they are so hidden, how then does that fit with people experiencing stigma? Or are they expecting to meet stigma because their self-esteem is in such a bad place?
It is a bit of both. It's incredibly complex. So what we were looking into was what actually is stigma. So we were looking at this internalized model and external perception of stigma. So if you can imagine, if you're ruminating on quite an awful lot of thoughts, it could be very difficult to break out of that. And you might have a very negative perception on things. And equally, you might be thinking about, is there anyone there going to be listening? And I don't want to kind of burden somebody with the problems that I have. And then equally, what we were finding as well is that the media does tend to portray very negative perceptions of what self-harm is. So individuals are, again, they may ruminate, but they're also being bombarded with lots of mixed messages about what is there and what other supports might exist.
And is self-harming similar to an addiction then?
We need more research. We're not entirely sure. We do know that it is a form of coping strategy, that a lot of our participants were highlighting that it is a method of coping. It may not be an addiction of sorts, but it is a coping strategy that some people may adopt.
And what was interesting as well, and you mentioned this, the wide variation in age. Is there any particular age group, though, where self-harm is more prevalent?
Unfortunately not. No one really seems to be immune. But what we are finding is that there's a lot of research now starting to be published globally looking at older adults and looking at how that is now a group that is starting to grow. We're starting to see more instances of older adults coming forward. A lot of research is being published then by the National Office in terms of suicide prevention. Like, there's a lot of resources there. So we do think that older adults seems to be. But in general, our demographics are very broad. In this research.
And what do they tell you about seeking help? Anecdotally, what was their experience or their own view of asking somebody to help them?
Again, we carried out quite a few focus groups, and the stories were very diverse. Some individuals were saying that they didn't seem like they had anyone to talk to, that they were actually grateful for participating. That one thing that surprised me, actually, and surprised my colleagues, Jane Hamilton and Lauren Harper, the Coast researchers, they were looking at how they were just thankful that there was actually people interested and actually carrying out the research, which kind of struck us a little bit that had they anyone else to go to and anyone else to turn to. And again, Samaritans, for example, there's a lot of resources there that they are available. But people, they were just thankful that this research has been carried out.
It sounds to me, Dean, that there's an awful lot of loneliness and isolation associated with self-harm. Is that what you felt was coming through?
Yeah, that is something, that is one of the themes actually that did come out, that isolation, loneliness, and this concept of kind of ruminating. And just, we need more resources in this country. Like, I know with CAMHS, with other mental health services, they're being bombarded with a lot of individuals, and we've been calling for more training and more resources, more education as well. We do need to start talking more about well-being much earlier, and that's one of our recommendations in the report. We do need to talk about where you can go. If you are feeling upset or feeling down or feeling like you may be self-harming, we do need to create more of a discourse surrounding it.
So what would you say then is the first port of call for someone who might be listening to this morning and who can relate to what you're talking about?
In terms of individuals, if you feel like a member of one of your friends, family, you can turn to them. Also, the Samaritans are fantastic resources, genuinely. Colleagues there that were working with us, Louise, Sarah and Ellen, and they were fantastic throughout, and they were talking to us about what their volunteers would experience. So if you're feeling upset or feeling down, you can always contact the Samaritans.
And all of the relevant helplines are available. If you just visit rte.ie/helplines, all of the information there with the relevant helplines and numbers will be available to you. Dean, thank you very much for telling us about that this morning. That's Dean McDonald, who's an academic researcher at the Southeast Technological University. Next up on the programme, from a Fermanagh farmyard to Formula One, we speak to the Northern Irish woman who has become the new face of Sky Sports racing coverage.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.